first interview on the program. We have Anthony Killey, who is an executive officer from the Flemington Kensington Legal Service. And he's going to be here today to talk about the youth, sort of supposed youth crime wave in the Herald Sun. And maybe we'll, the overall racialization of it. And of course, the so-called riot in the youth detention centre and the transfer of 40 kids to an adult jail. We'll get an opportunity to maybe talk about that as well. So good morning, Kelly, Anthony.
Good morning.
Okay, so I guess maybe a good sort of question to ask is sort of like, you know, what can you say, what is sort of your comments about this sort of youth crime wave and of course, where your legal service kind of fits in, because you do a lot of work in sort of against sort of like, you know, racial discrimination and racism.
Yeah, that's right. We're always concerned, of course, when there's a moral panic in the media in relation to this sort of stuff, because it directly affects policing and then people on the street. And we've seen this time and time again over many years. Back in 2005 and 2006, there was a toxic array of media coverage around crime committed by African young people and African gangs and so forth around Dandenong, and that sort of culminated in the murder of a young Sudanese man called Leah Pagoni in Noble Park in 2007. And you might remember the then Immigration Minister, Kevin Andrews, saying that he's going to put a halt on African immigration because of their issues with integration. And that, of course, has now been echoed again with Dutton's comments, around certain types of immigration being stopped due to crime or perceptions around crime. So this pattern is a template. It happens periodically, and it has a range of impacts, of course. But the crime itself has, the actual crime behaviour, concerning although some of the crimes are, they represent simply a spike in certain crime types. It's the way the media portray these crimes, of course, and then society's reactions to them. And the media fit to a particular template. And then the moral panic that surrounds the media coverage is utilised politically in a whole range of different ways.
Do you think that one of the kind of reasons for this, and you kind of notice this is like a consistent trend in the Herald Sun, is essentially a way for the police to lobby for more police powers?
That's one impact, yes. You see that it's not just police lobbying, it's also political party posturing and saying that they will bring in and allow more police powers. So it's interesting in this particular context around the coverage of what's called the Apex Gang. Everyone's using this terminology in various ways. So the opposition, for instance, have been really hammering the current Andrews government and trying to instigate a tough-on-crime auction, essentially, in the lead-up to next year's election. And they're using the Apex Gang, this racialised crime fear, in order to put lots of pressure on the Andrews government, and the Andrews government is susceptible to that. It's definitely responding in various ways. But the Victoria Police, to their credit, are actually trying to water down the racialised nature of the reporting. They're equally as shocked. They see that the carjackings and house robberies, there's a huge range of ethnicities involved in this. It's not one particular ethnicity involved. And they're also sort of trying to talk back against various media commentators who are relating it to African or Islander young people and trying to racialise the issue.
Peculiar.
It's actually quite interesting. It's the police are getting more sophisticated in their media response than they were back in 2005 and 2006.
Zane, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah, just a comment, Anthony. It's almost like the Liberals here are trying to initiate a sort of a Donald Trump-like campaign. So it's when Donald Trump says we're going to build a wall and get rid of all the Mexicans, the Victorian opposition, and unfortunately the Andrews government as well, seem to want the centrepiece of their sort of racist scaremongering and distraction is, are we going to crack down on youth crime and the Apex gang?
Yeah, it's a familiar template. There's nothing really new to it. And Thatcher and Reagan pioneered it, essentially, this form of electioneering law and order populism, or penal populism, as it's sometimes called, back in the 80s. And it's been followed by, you know, Australian and English and, you know, Canadian and American governments and candidates for quite some time now. But yeah, it is incredibly familiar. It's incredibly damaging because not only does it, you know, exacerbate far right, you know, paranoid nationalism, but and it you know, destroys the ability of communities to reset, to newly arrived communities to resettle. It really undermines that social cohesion in a very profound way. But yeah, it leads to incredibly poor criminal justice policies. Ineffective and detrimental. So the more, you know, the evidence is overwhelming that increased punishments, increased jail terms and increased prison populations is not only ineffective, it's detrimental. It increases recidivism and criminal rates overall. And that early intervention and support and whole range of different preventative measures are far more effective in multiple ways, and yet it's these sort of law and order population pushes up prison rates, as we've seen here in Victoria since the last government, and undermines effective criminal justice policies.
Yeah. Okay, I guess moving on to the next topic we wanted to interview about. What can you say about the supposed riot that's happened at the youth detention centre? I put that riot in quote unquote because it's kind of like a media sort of term, and the transfer of the 40 kids as a result who were held in this detention centre to an adult jail.
Yeah, so a couple of observations really, and I haven't been looking into it specifically. It's not sort of our area. We don't have clients in there currently. But there's a couple of observations that I think are worth noting. And one is that it's being linked to the scaremongering. It's being linked to Apex Gang, and it's being automatically embedded in the same law and order, tough on crime rhetoric. So the opposition are going at Andrews as being soft, and the kids are out of control, and they, you know, the governments can't control kids, and all of that narrative is about the tough father, you know, frame that they're no longer in charge of the family, and the emasculated government and so forth. So Andrews has responded by being as tough as possible, and that is by declaring that 40 of the young people are going to be put into the adult prison at Darwin, which is one of the more maximum security prisons we have in Victoria. And that in itself is quite concerning. It shows that he's susceptible to the political pressure, and shows that they're willing to jettison really basic human rights protections. You know, the principle, human rights principle, that young people shouldn't be held in custody in adult facilities or with adults is a very basic international human rights, very well articulated and around the world, and embedded within not only the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, but the Human Rights Charter in Victoria. And so they're willing to jettison that for political expediency, and that's a real concern.
Yeah, I've heard a comment that the former Children's Commission has actually spoken out against this and pointed out that most of the kids involved were on remand, or at least 75% of them were.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case, yeah. So remand means that they haven't faced court as yet, and they haven't been convicted of any crime, they're being held in custody for a range of different reasons. And, so the pressure cooker-like environment in any custodial setting hasn't really been discussed. So the mainstream media has been focusing on this, you know, rhetoric around out-of-control young people and they need to be punished, whereas the analysis of what's actually going on inside youth justice centres, how poorly resourced they are, the staff, some staff are obviously really good within these centres, but some staff have also been, there's been reports of goading young people into fights and quite horrific practices, and also just the simple, horrific nature of young people being held in custody for long periods of time, and also in isolation for long periods of time, means that sort of internal resistance and rioting behaviour is virtually inevitable in any sort of custodial setting. So there's been very little mainstream commentary on the issue, on this particular issue, about how appropriate locking up young people is and what other alternatives are available. And unfortunately, rather than generate this sort of discussion, the current government has just taken an approach that in theory makes them look a bit tougher and says that they're going to go to Barwon. Now, some of that is pragmatic in the sense that they are going to segregate the young people into a particular area at Barwon Prison. They're going to be segregated from the adults, so that's the way they can justify it according to the Human Rights Charter. But it's still a concerning trend.
I guess now we're getting a bit low on time now. The last kind of question is, you know, how does, Flemington Kensington Legal Service sort of fit into this, and kind of what work are you kind of doing in response to sort of all the issues that we're kind of been discussing here with, with the sort of Herald Sun kind of, media scare and this sort of populism of the law and order kind of agenda?
Sure. So we run a specialist legal practice, and it's a legal and advocacy practice called the Police Accountability Project. So we have a statewide police complaints clinic, and we have a campaign called Without Suspicion, which is about tackling the cultural and institutional aspects of Victorian police that feed into racialised policing or discriminatory policing. So that's a strong focus of our centre due to the area in which we're based, but also the clients that walk through our door, continually talking about discriminatory policing that they've experienced. And so we have a range of activities and campaigns and work around that. We have a forum coming up on December the 8th called Without Suspicion, Racial Profiling, Stop Search Data. It's at Melbourne Law School at 5:30, and there's information on our website about that. We're also calling strongly for, a system of independent investigations of police misconduct. And that's a very important systemic change that we believe will shift a lot of, will increase accountability for police members engaged in human rights abuses to quite a significant degree.
Right. I guess, thanks for that, Anthony.
Thanks.
A very informative interview, and I hope listeners here and enjoyed listening to it. All right. Okay.
Thanks
a great
much,
All right. Have a great day.
Keep up the good work.
And keep up the good work, yeah.
Cheers.